Just recently, I think most of you know, Linda and I had the privilege of going to England, to London. And while we were in London, we had the privilege to worship in St. Paul's Cathedral. And I don't know if you've ever seen pictures or if you've ever been there, but it's something to worship in St. Paul's Cathedral. And that the cathedral has a very, very interesting story behind it. This is the new St. Paul's Cathedral. The old St. Paul's Cathedral was destroyed in the 1666 Fire of London, which destroyed a lot of that city. But that old St. Paul's was destroyed, and the new St. Paul's was started, the construction of it was started 9 years later, in 1675. And the person that designed that church was Sir Christopher Wren. And he himself, in 1675, laid the first cornerstone of that church, which was to be his greatest architectural enterprise of his life. It took some 35 long years to construct St. Paul's Cathedral. And when it was completed, Sir Christopher Wren waited breathlessly for the response of Her Majesty the Queen, Queen Anne. Queen Anne was led through the corridors of St. Paul's Cathedral. And when she had finished the tour, she responded, she said these words, these three words: "It is awful, it is amusing, and it is artificial." Now, folks, can you imagine? This was Christopher Wren's life work. He had spent 35 years of his life constructing this cathedral. And the three words that the Queen used to describe it was, "It's awful, it's amusing, and it's artificial." Imagine how you'd feel. And yet, the response of Christopher Wren, he fell down on his knees before the Queen and said, "Thank you, Your Majesty, thank you, thank you." You say, boy, that's strange. But there's a very simple response to that, simple explanation of his response. In 1710, the word awful meant awesome. The word amusing meant amazing. And the word artificial meant beautifully artistic. So what appeared to us as some real criticism, awful, amusing, artificial, was really wonderful praise. This is awesome. This is amazing. This is beautifully artistic. And so that's why Christopher Wren could breathe a sigh of relief and say, "Thank you, Your Majesty." Now, folks, I think about that, and you know, words have meanings. And words are very, very important, aren't they? Words are important. And you know, there's been some studies done about how many words we speak. Now, from the first good morning in the morning to the last good night at night, the average person has 30 conversations a day. And those 30 conversations in a day would fill up about a book of about 50 to 60 pages. Now, that's the average person. That's not pastors or pastors' wives. And if you look at that over a year, every one of us speak enough words to fill 100 books of over 200 pages. That's the words that we speak. And folks, words are important. And what comes out here tells us a lot about the person. Our words tell the story. Now we see that in our text this morning. I want you to take your Bibles and look with me at Matthew chapter 12. As we continue through the book of Matthew, Matthew 12, we're just going to hit five verses today, verses 33 through verse 37. And listen to what Jesus says about our words. First of all, in verse 33, Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruits good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure that which is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that a man shall speak, he shall render account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified. By your words you will be condemned. And what Jesus is saying here to us is, you know what? Our words tell the story. Our words reveal a lot about us. What comes out of here reveals a lot about the person. In fact, I want to share with you this morning three things you can tell about a person by his or her words. Three things that our words reveal. Number one, our words reveal our identity. Verse 33. Our words reveal our identity. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, make the tree bad, its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Now remember the context here. The context are the verses 22 through 32 right before this. And you remember what happened. A couple weeks ago we went into this. Jesus healed, cast out a demon, healed a man, and it was a great miracle. And you remember the Pharisees' response to this. They couldn't deny the miracle. I mean, he was standing there. Couldn't deny the miracle, so they denied the power source. They attributed the source of the miracle to who? Satan. In fact, their very words was, this man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. That's what came out of their mouth. And then Jesus goes on to show them and to show everybody how totally illogical, how totally inconsistent and ridiculous their answer was. And he says, if Satan is divided against Satan, his house is not going to stand. His kingdom will not stand. And then he goes on to speak about this sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You remember what we said about that, and I think this is important. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was not just denial of Christ. It was not just rejecting Christ. It was in the light of clear, undeniable, indisputable, irrefutable evidence. It was to reject the person and the work of Christ. And even to be able to go further than that, to attribute the work, the clear, undeniable work of the Holy Spirit and say it's Satan. It is, the cross is demonic. And Jesus said, that's unforgivable. That you're past the point of no return, if you can say something like that. Because it reveals something in here. It reveals the identity in here. Now, there's a principle here. The principle is found in verse 33, at the end of verse 33. He says, for the tree is known by its fruit. And I mean, he's just pointing to nature and stating an obvious truth, right? If you go up to a tree and you pick some cherries off the tree, what kind of tree is it, folks? It's a cherry tree, right? Anybody awake here? I mean, some of you, I don't know. if you go out and pick a fig off a tree, it's a what? It's a fig tree. It's just obvious truth. Now, in this analogy here, the tree is our life, right? The tree is the life of a person. The fruit is what comes out our mouth. Say, you shall know the tree is known by its fruit. You shall know the tree. He says, the tree is known by its fruit. The identity of a tree is known by what comes out of that tree. And the tree, again, is a life of a person, and the fruit is words. And over and over again in Scripture, in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Hosea, talk about the fruit that comes out of our mouth. Hebrews chapter 13 says that therefore through Jesus we should offer up a continual sacrifice of praise unto God, the fruit of lips that give thanks unto his name. See, what comes out is our fruit. And Jesus says here, the true identity is known by what comes out the mouth. Now, the principle, though, this principle can be confused. We should be able to tell if a person is a Christian or if a person is a non-Christian by what comes out of the mouth, right? If you're around a person long enough, you should be able to tell the identity of that person, whether they're saved or not saved. But sometimes that principle is confused. That's why I think Jesus starts off in this beginning of the verse, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. If you are a Christian, if you are a good person, let your fruit, what comes out your mouth, be good. Let your words be encouraging, loving, kind, praiseful, thankful, graceful, edifying, pure. If you're a good tree, that's what should come out of your mouth. If you're a bad tree, if you're not saved, doesn't matter. Just let it all come out. Say whatever you want. Curse. Tell dirty jokes. Talk about people. Gossip. You hear that hiss of the serpent? Gossip. If you're a bad person, just gossip all you want. Talk about people in the church. Slander people. Cut people off. Be critical. Be sarcastic. Just let it come out. If you're a bad person, just say what's on your mind. But you know, it gets confused when we're inconsistent. When we say, I'm a Christian, and yet what comes out our mouth, is he a Christian? Is she a believer? Did you hear what he said? Did you hear that gossip that she's spreading? Boy, that doesn't sound like a Christian. Or it can be kind of confused with hypocrisy too, can it? Like with the Pharisees. They on the outside, they look pretty good. They said, we're religious, we believe in God. And yet, what came out of their mouth? He does his miracles. He casts out that demon by Beelzebul, the Lord of crap. That's what they said. Jesus said, man, I can tell. If you're going to be a good tree, let good stuff come out. If you're going to be a bad tree, let's not confuse the issue here. Yet sometimes it gets confused. You see, what Jesus is saying here is our words reveal our true identity, or at least they should. The Pharisees, he knew what was in their hearts. He knew that they were lost. They were gone. He knew that. What about us? What does my words reveal about me? Now, listen, not talking about Sunday morning. Because everybody on Sunday morning sounds real good. Praise Jesus. He's just, oh, I love you, Jesus. I'm talking about Monday morning. I'm talking about out in the machine shop. I'm talking about in your neighborhood. I'm talking about, you know, where we live. What do our words reveal against us, about us, against us, maybe against me? What's my words tell? Our words tell the story. See, if somebody were trying to find out if I were a Christian or not, and they could hear my conversation on my cell phone, if they saw what I text somebody else, and that's words, I know it's not spoken, but it's my words. How about if they looked at my Facebook page? Would there be enough evidence to convict me of being a Christian? Or would they say, boy, that Pastor Les, he doesn't sound like a Christian. You see, what is coming out here should reveal our true identity. Now, let me just give us a little, nobody's perfect with this. Right? Come on, say amen or something. You know, wave your hand or open your eyes and say, yeah. All right. No, nobody's perfect with this. Because James tells us, if any man is perfect with his mouth or perfect with his tongue, he's a perfect man. If anybody doesn't err with his tongue, he's perfect. And none of us have arrived yet. But you know what? What about what's coming out here? One of the verses we taught our kids, and hopefully we've tried to learn a little bit, Ephesians 4, 29. I think it's 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of thy mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to hear. That's a good 4-point test of our words, right? Let no unwholesome word, no garbage, come out of your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification. Does this word build somebody up? According to the need of the moment, is it needful? That it may give grace to those here. Is this gracious? Am I being kind and gracious? And if it's garbage, or if it is something that doesn't build somebody up, or it's not needed, or if it's not gracious, don't say it. You know what? Probably a lot of us would talk a lot less. My sermons might be shorter. No, that wouldn't be shorter. Our words reveal our identity. Second thing our words reveal what's in our hearts. See in verse 34 and 35? Right at the last part of verse 34, for the mouth speaks from that which fills the what? The heart. And the heart, according to biblical theologian Leon Morris, it is used here as an inclusive term and denoting the seat of physical, spiritual, and mental life as the center and source of the whole inner life. With its thinking, feeling, and volition, it is what the heart is full of. King James Version, I think, says abundance of the heart. The abundance. That determines, says Leon Morris, what anyone says. And he adds a very interesting comment. Listen to this. People do not speak out of character. Did you hear that? Come and say, he's speaking out of character. No. We don't speak out of character. We speak according to what's in our heart. What's in our heart? I didn't know if I was going to do this or not, but I think I will. You know what this is?
A carton.
It is a carton, but you know, it lemonade. Is that what's in this garden? How many would like to, I don't bet, but Would you like to wager? What's in this carton? Oh, you would? I wonder what's in this carton. Let me see here. I think I have a glass here. Wonder what's in this carton. You know what's in this carton? I'll tell you, whatever is inside is going to come out. Now let's see. Maybe it's lemonade. It says lemonade on the outside, doesn't it? Oh, I hope it's lemonade. Let's see what we got here. Uh-oh. Is it lemonade? No, it's not. I mean, let me taste it. It's grape juice. It is grape juice. What's inside comes out. What's in your heart is going to come out. That's the principle. And Jesus goes on here to give two illustrations of this. You see it there? First of all, there's an illustration of the snake. And I want to quote a famous theologian, Indiana Jones. I hate snakes. I hate snakes. You know? But Jesus says, he addresses the Pharisees, verse 34, look at verse 34. You brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes. And the word he uses here for vipers is the general term for the poisonous snakes. And there were a lot of poisonous snakes over in that area of the Middle East. And that was a general term. All the different kinds of poisonous snakes. You poisonous snakes. I know about you, he says. He said, you being evil in your heart, how can you bring forth good? You can't. See? Because what's in your heart comes out. Inside your heart, it's going to come out. And folks, if any of us have the poison of bitterness in our lives, it's going to come out. If you have the poison of hatred, you hate somebody, it's going to come out. Not necessarily toward the one you hate. If you have the poison of envy in your life, it's going to come out. Because what the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. And he said, you Pharisees, you got poison coming out of you because you're filled with poison. You're just like the snakes out in the desert, those poisonous snakes. They can't bring forth something good because they're full of poison. And then he gives the illustration of a treasure. He says, he talks about a treasure, and treasure is something that we value, something that we store up. He says, a good man, that is a good man with a good heart, values good things. He stores them up in his heart. A good man with a good heart will store up virtue and integrity. And will store up purity and kindness and love and in the heart. A good man, a good woman will put the word of God in his heart or her heart. Because thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So a good person has a good treasure, that they treasure that. In fact, they treasure the word of God. And they put it in their heart. That's a good man. A good man values good things and puts it into his heart. An evil man values evil things. Values evil things and puts evil things in her heart. An evil man puts impurity into his heart. Evil man gets pornography and puts it into his heart. An evil man values things above people. I mean, listen to them talk. Do you know you can just listen to a person talk and you can tell what that person values, what they treasure? I'll never forget standing on the second floor of the courthouse in Akron. Standing outside the courtroom, I had gone there to support a family whose son was on trial. But not only was I standing there, there was another pastor who had gone there to support that family. And as we stood there outside the courtroom, he looked up, and there, if you've ever been in the courtroom, the elevators, they're kind of ornate and this kind of thing, but beside the elevators on either side are these big, ornate, brass light fixtures. And that pastor looked at me and he said, "Oh, I'd love to have those fixtures." Now listen, I lust after those fixtures. I said, I thought he was kind of maybe kidding. So I said, "You know, when we get to heaven, that stuff, that's junk in heaven." And then he said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what, you can have it in heaven. I'll take it now." Oh, I'll tell you what, my jaw, and he meant it. And you know what? I had an X-ray of his heart. I'm going to tell you, there was covetousness in his heart. You could see it. I could see it. It was like he went like this. "Look. Look." What you treasure comes out. Comes out. You see the commercial? Do you ever see the commercial? What's in your wallet? What's in your wallet? Hopefully a little bit less than when you came in. No. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't even know why I said that. I did not plan to say that. See what's in your heart comes out. Oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Not what's in your wallet. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? Pharisee's heart was poison. What's in my heart? What's in your heart? Look back over the last week. What were the words that came out of your mouth when you were talking to different people? Again, not Sunday morning, that doesn't count. At your job, in your neighborhood, when you're on Facebook, when you text, what came out? You know what? That's a picture of our heart, because our words reveal our true identity. Our words reveal what's in our heart. And you know what maybe I need to do is ask God, "God, I need to get more word in my heart to wash that out so I can have a clean, pure heart before you, Lord, so that things that come out of my mouth are going to be according to your word and not according to my sin." A third thing that our words reveal. Our words reveal our standing before God. Verses 36 and 37. You see, verse 36 tells us our words are going to be evaluated. This is kind of scary for me to preach this. But it says, "But I tell you that every careless word that a man shall speak or a people speak, they shall give an account for it." But I tell you, this is the word of Jesus. I tell you. So this is significant. Listen up, he says. Listen up. God hears every word that we speak, even our careless words. That word means the careless. Careless means words that don't amount to anything. This is small talk. God even hears our small talk, and it'll be evaluated. Let alone things that I think about and say, and he hears everything. Would you keep your hand here? Keep your hand here in Matthew chapter 12, but turn with me back to Numbers, the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Numbers chapter 12. And I just want you to see something. Every time I read through this, God just hammers me with this. But Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says in God's word, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? I mean, we're just as good as Moses.'" But look at the next words. This is what God, he hits me with this every time I read through the Bible. "And the Lord," what? "He heard it." He heard it. If you look through other places in the Old Testament, they started to complain before God. And you know what it says? "And the Lord heard it." You know, maybe before the next time, before I go to say something, I had to say, would I say this if God were here and heard this? Because he is. And he does. When you talk to that person on the phone and you're saying, "Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, yeah. Lord's listening in. He's the third party on the line." Boy, if I would really believe that and really act like I believe that, you know what? I probably would say a lot less than I say. Because every careless word that a man or a woman shall speak, we will render account for it. Render account for it on the day of judgment. You say, "Well, are Christians going to be judged?" Mm-hmm. You say, I thought our sins are judged. We're not going to be judged. We must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it's not going to be our salvation. I understand that. But what we do and what we say in the body, we'll render account for it. That's what the scripture says. And then he goes on to say our words will tell the story. Verse 37, "For by your words you will be justified. By your words you'll be condemned." Now let's make this clear. Scripture tells us that we are justified by faith. Faith alone. We're justified by faith. We're put right with God. We come to know God through faith. But our faith, our words reveal whether we have had faith and whether we've been justified and are in a state of justification. That's what the scripture, I think, is saying here. Our words, what we speak, reveal our standing with God. And whether we have had faith or whether we have not had faith, our words tell the story. You know, it's an interesting study, and you might just look at this when you get home, but in the book of Romans, just do a little study and follow the word mouth through Romans. Now, I'm going to tell you what you'll find, but it'll be interesting to look at it right in the context. If you look at chapter 3 in the book of Romans, it tells us about the mouth of the unconverted. You know what comes out of the mouth of the unconverted? Bitterness and cursing. Man, can I identify with that. I'll tell you, the night I got saved, I lost 75% of my vocabulary. The cursing that I used to do, I'm going to tell you, it was just, you know what? Out of the mouth of the unconverted comes bitterness and cursing. And it says in chapter 3, when that person who is unconverted stands before God one day, their mouth will be stopped. They'll have nothing to say. They'll not say, "Oh, that's unfair. That's a..." No. They'll have nothing to say. But then you move on through Romans, and you get into Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know those verses, don't you? For if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Saved. For with the heart, it says, for with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. So you see, when you were saved, Patty, when you were saved, it came to you, oh man, and then you confess Christ. You say, Lord, I believe in you, come into my heart. As an expression of the faith. The faith saves. But I'll tell you what, the faith is expressed through what we say. And so you have bitterness and cursing, but then with the mouth we confess and we're saved. And then look at the mouth over in Romans chapter 15. You know what's coming out of the mouth in Romans 15? Praise for the Lord. Praise, and we're glorifying God and praising God. Oh, the difference. Being saved, having Jesus makes with your mouth. You see, in Scripture, it tells us that our words tell the story. They reveal our true identity. They reveal our heart. And they reveal our standing before God. And they'll be evaluated one day. What do I have in here? Have any prophets in the church? Lemonade. Wrong. Well, I'm going to bring a little bit out. I'm going to show you. But I'm going to bring a little bit out. And then I'm going to ask you to tell me. Let's see if I can get this out here. Let's see here. This is not it. I don't want you to see this. Okay, now, what do I have in my bag? You sure? You want to taste? How did you know? How did you know, Judy? You said right away, shaving cream? Nelda did. Good for you. You knew. How did you know? By what came out, you knew what was here. You know what I'd like to have? I'd like to have some whipped cream. So I think I'll have some whipped cream. Ready? Can I get whipped cream out of here? How about banana cream? No, you know what? I can't do that, can I? Why can't I do that, folks? Why can't I do that? Why can't I get banana cream out of here? Okay, because it's not in there, right? Little boy right there knows. You can't get banana cream out of here because what's inside comes out. We knew the true identity by what came out. And we know what's inside because what's inside is revealed by what comes out. We know the heart. We know what's inside here by what came out. Now, I want to offer somebody a real bargain here, a real deal. I want you, if anybody can come, I'm going to give you $100. If anybody can come up and put this back inside. Anybody come up and put this back inside for me? You come up and put this back inside, and I'll give you $100. No, better yet, the elders will give you $100. You know what? Once it's out, you can't put it back in. See, you know what, folks? Watch what comes out. Our words tell the story. Lord, we thank you for just this reminder, God, of how important our words really are. And Lord, I know sometimes my words are inconsistent. And I think probably all of us know that, Lord. Help us, God. I pray that people will know our identity by the words we speak. I pray that people will know that we're unashamed followers of Jesus Christ. We're not afraid to tell people, you know what? I follow the Lord. He's my Savior. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it, but I love the Lord. I pray that we'd have the boldness to speak those words. And people wouldn't have to be around us very long before they would know we are Christ followers. And Lord, for those times where we messed up and we really have not been consistent. I remember, Lord, in your word, James said, can a fountain from the same opening bring forth bitter and sweet water? And yet we praise you, God, Sunday morning, and we go out and curse men that are made in your image on Monday morning. Oh, brethren and sister, Lord, things not be this way. Lord, forgive us when we're like that, Lord. And help us, Lord, to have our tongues under the control of the Holy Spirit. And help us to have hearts that are filled with your word, so what's in the heart comes out. The mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. And Lord, maybe somebody is here today. I mean, our words reveal our standing before God. Maybe you just look at your words and you say, I don't know God. I don't know him. Like Patty, maybe I've been in church before and I've been church all my life and yet I don't know him. Lord, if there's one person here today that is there, give them grace to say, Lord, I want you. Forgive my sin. Lord, I believe in you. I want to receive you as my Savior. Help them to confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead, God. Save them today, Lord, I pray. God, put a guard over our mouth this week so that we would only speak those words that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.